Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Welcome, everybody, to Another Money Show with your host, Anthony Correo. And out this week is J.R. Rochford. He's out on vacation enjoying himself the way I was a couple weeks ago. So it only seems fair. But you got me, you got Sam, and I think we got a decent show. Who knows? We never really know until we start talking. We'll see how good it goes.
Yeah, I think this is interesting, Anthony. We've had a couple shows where it has been just JR and me, and now we get to see what it's like when you're behind the wheel. So let's find out.
Yeah, we're going to JR, I 100% I agree with everything that he's doing, his approach. I mean, that's the only reason I'm in this office. Otherwise, I'd still be sitting behind a desk as an engineer. You know, I didn't plan on getting into this industry. I didn't want to get into this industry, but I believe in how he cares for people and his approach, and you know, I wanted that legacy to live on. So now we're here and here with you.
Yeah, we should probably tell the people who you are and what we're listening to right now before we jump into today's topics real quick.
So you are listening to Another Money Show. Yeah, good call on that. Sam's always the one that remembers the marketing stuff. I just start talking. Another Money Show on 960 The Patriot. And last week, I think we had a pretty good show. I got a little bitter, you know, Sam and I and JR were discussing things that we were going to talk about leading into the show, and he vetoed a lot of the stuff I want to say. But it's such a strange industry, and I don't know if I got to this story last week, but there was something that really set me off and kind of why all the, you know, I was so upset leading into that last show. But we sat down with a woman, and she didn't want to go to her advisor. She didn't really know us. She's not a client. She just heard that we could help and give her some advice and wanted a backstop, someone to run her situation through. And she said she was really worried about the market, wanted to sell everything, go into cash. And I said, well, you know, let's sit down. Let's talk a little bit, because you got to get the full story. I mean, you listen to any of this show, you've heard how pessimistic we are on the stock market. And I want to talk about that more today. But this woman really didn't have much, and she definitely didn't have much to lose. So safeguarding what she, you know, what little she did have made so much sense. So she asked, because the lingo in this industry gets strange sometimes. You talk about, if I'm telling you that you should go to cash inside of your 401k, what does that mean? Does that mean you're cashing out? Oh, am I going to have tax repercussions? No. That just means you liquidate your stuff and you go to cash inside that same bucket. You're not cashing out. Everything's the same. There's no tax implications. It stays inside your 401k, your IRA, whatever. You're just moving it to cash.
So yeah, in other words, Anthony, you would be going to cash means riding the strength or weakness of the US dollar.
Yeah, which, you know, is weak too, but it's what do you want to take your chances on, the next Great Depression or inflation? You know. Yeah, personally, I'm cash heavy right now. And I was like, oh, I know I'm losing to inflation, but where do you want to lose at this point when everything's so volatile?
Yeah, not to get into a currency discussion. And you know, maybe the US dollar isn't the best currency, but it can sure help you get a lot of things. It's better than gold. I mean, gold is valuable, but you know, you can't go down to the grocery store and trade gold for apples.
Yeah. Good luck trying to barter that, bringing your $2,000 gold coin in. Like, do you have change for this? Why I brought that up is she just asked me to listen to make sure that when she called her advisor, she didn't mess up or say anything incorrect. So I got to sit and listen to how he explained it to her. And it was all the same stuff, you know, we're taught as sales. It had nothing to do with her situation. It was, oh, you know, if you go out now, you know, there's short-term losses, but these are all paper losses. If you sell, it makes it permanent. And I was just blown away. Essentially, looking at her statement, in 6 months, she lost everything she made over 5 years. This woman's not in a position to do that. So I was watching this guy just take over as a salesman and try to keep her invested, whether or not it was her best interest or not. And it blows me away. I sat with another woman. This one's funny, from my networking groups. She had a BNI presentation that she's watching. And this advisor, you know, if you put in $500 a month for the rest of forever with compounding interest, you're going to be a millionaire. Sam, have you heard those stories, those presentations?
Yeah, it sounds super nice. All you got to do is all the hard work and saving.
Yeah. So she sees this presentation and he makes a pitch like, hey, let me sit down with you. Let me, you know, see if I can give you advice. So, okay. He does the exact same thing. I sit down with her because we're friends. So she's like, obviously, you know, if I'm going to get financial advice, I want to sit down with you. I said, okay. She doesn't have $500 a month to be putting away towards this. Not at any point did he ask her questions to get to know her situations. It was strictly a sales pitch. And what I love too, because I see TikTok videos and Instagram posts about putting money away and compounding interest and the strength. What about sequence of returns? Nobody ever talks about sequence. 7% over, you know, 20 years as an average seems great, but you're not getting 7%, 7%, 7%. Sometimes you're getting 14%. Sometimes you're getting zero. Sometimes you're getting negative 20. Do you know how different your outcome is if you have all those negative years up front versus some positive? You know, if you put on $100,000 and you have 7% annual for the next 20 years, you get one number. If, you know, if it's a straight just 7% each year, you've got one number.
I see what you're saying. Cause like, if I had decided, hey, I'm going to start investing in the stock market, I'm going to start this year, 2022. And I put in $100,000 and I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, see what this thing does. S&P 500, ride it out. And I start off with a 20% loss. It's I'm now working from a much smaller number versus if the market had a good year, maybe goes up 6%. All of a sudden I've got, you know, 6% above 100,000. Yes. The sequence of returns drastically affects your value long-term.
Correct. And if you look at that same 20 years, if it averages to 7, you think it's all the same. It's not all the same, but that kind of leads me into the theme of today is who do you trust with your money and when is the right time to be in the stock market? I want to get into that a little bit later because that's a genuine question I've been thinking about today. But, you know, we really like talking about world events that people aren't really aware of and how that affects money now. You know, we talk about the 10 pillars. Whole thing about the 10 pillars is there's so many other areas to look for a black swan event that's not the market itself. And those are the kinds of things that we're paying attention to. So I read a story over the weekend, $6 billion lost in China. Basically what happened is, you know, we talk about how iffy we are about the banks and how we should be worried and how you should have some cash at home and, you know, don't be fully dependent on the banks. Unfortunately, there's no way around it. You can't pay your mortgage in cash. You know, you can't pay for your car payment in cash. You have to go through a bank. There's no way to avoid it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be protected should the banks get weird. I mean, we saw in March of 2020, Walmart never closed, but your banks did. Well, after everything else opened up, the banks were still being strange. And that's, they handle your money. Like that's not a place you want to just be intermittently closed and not have access to. It was an interesting story because it ties into the social scores too. Some of these people didn't have access to their deposits and now they're getting red carded. And their red card is their health essentially how they're tracking COVID there. And if you get red carded and if they decide that you're at risk to the population, no transportation, you're not allowed into buildings, like essentially you have to be exiled. So they're being exiled by this bank. You've got 400,000 people like you and I, all of a sudden their money's gone. CEO has dipped out to Cyprus and has become a nationalist there. They're going through the government right now and they're trying to figure, essentially they're FDIC, like, well, what do they do? The government has come in and stopped this bank from allowing depositors, you and I, to get their money out because of the criminal situation going on with the bank, which is scary in itself. So you've got all this money that people don't have access to. They said that there's three situations that could possibly happen. One is if the bank doesn't go bankrupt, you can get your money back, right? That's the scenario that obviously everybody wants. But the next option is if it does go bankrupt, their FDIC version covers 500,000 yen or whatever they pronounce their currency as. That amounts to about 75,000 US. Now, what they're saying is the most likely projection is that this bank, these people putting in their money, never actually put the money through the bank. And then it got outsourced almost immediately. So now they're looking at a crowdfunding fraud suit. So depending on how the judge in the case decides, that's the only way that they're going to figure out how to get their money back, which is terrifying. So you, again, you're thinking this isn't China. This can't happen here. When we get back, I'm going to tell you why you should be worried about potentially this happening here. So you're listening to Another Money Show, Anthony Correo. We will be right back after this.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, you are back. Another Money Show. So we're just talking about bank closures in China, all these people not having access to their money, and the fact that the money probably didn't even make it to the bank. This is just a fraud suit, which is terrifying. And again, it's happening in China. It can't happen here. We've mentioned multiple times, the CEO of Chase Bank has six felonies. Jamie Dimon has six felonies against him. I just told you that the CEO of this bank in China, you know, was a known con artist and has all these issues. So why would that not happen here? So the newest one, you know, they got fined almost $1 billion, $900 million for securities fraud involving silver and precious metals, treasuries. There is a lawsuit from Hidalgo, a mining company. Hidalgo's claim, seen by Reuters, uses the evidence information from an investigation by U.S. regulators, which found that J.P. Morgan staff between 2008 and 2016 sent fake buy and sell orders into metals and treasuries market to move prices in their favor. We talk about the manipulation in the market, and it's not like we're just saying this is speculation. It's proven time and time again. If you can't trust the banks, you can't trust the market, who do you trust with your money? You have to trust you. Again, there's no way to avoid using the banks. And if you have a 401k, there's no way for you to avoid being in the stock market. I mean, when it comes to investing, how else do you invest anyways? How does 99% of people out there that are, you know, investing, where is their money? It's in the stock market. The easiest option. It's the most well-known, but it's more of the standard. We've just kind of accepted this as a culture that you put your money in the stock market. So we've got a clip we're going to play for you real quick because we talk about manipulation. Jim Cramer, huge name in this industry, Mad Money, hugely popular show. but he used to manage hedge funds. We got a minute-long clip of an interview he did with, I believe, The Street. And he talks about market manipulation and the fact that it's legal in some instances. So we're going to play that right now.
You know, a lot of times when I was short at my hedge fund and I was positioned short, meaning I needed it down, I would create a level of activity beforehand that could drive the futures. It doesn't take much money. Similarly, if I were long and I would want to make things a little bit rosy, I would go in and take a bunch of stocks and make sure that they're higher. You know, maybe commit $5 million in capital to do it, and I could affect it. What you're seeing now is maybe it probably is bigger market now. Maybe you need $10 million in capital to knock this stuff down, but it's a fun game and it's a lucrative game, and you can move it up and then fade it. That's often creates a very negative feel. So let's say you take a longer term view intraday, and you say, listen, I'm going to boost the futures, and then when the real sellers come in, real market comes in, they're going to knock it down. That's going to create a negative view. That's a strategy very worth doing when you're valued on a day-to-day basis. And I would encourage anyone who's in the hedge fund game to do it because it's legal.
Right.
And it is a very quick way to make money and very satisfying.
Okay.
By the way, no one else in the world would ever admit that, but I can care.
That's right. And you can say that here.
I can't. I'm not going to say it on TV.
Well, on a related note, there's so many more hedge funds today than when you were managing your hedge fund.
Right.
Do you think that does that exacerbate the moves, or does it make it
tougher? Well, the hedge funds are positioned long short, okay, not just long like mutual funds. So it's really vital these next 6 days because of your payday. You've really got to control the market. You can't let it lift. When you get a research in motion, it's really important to use a lot of your firepower to knock that down because it's the fulcrum of the market today.
So here we have this national name essentially saying, well, we can get away with manipulating the market and making it move and do whatever it is that we want it to do. And he was saying as little as, you know, of course, these values are older, but he was saying relatively not a lot of money compared to if you're a hedge fund, how much you're managing. These kind of manipulative measures haven't gone away. They're still alive and very present now. There's a movie that I highly recommend. If you haven't seen it, it's called The China Hustle. Sam, have you seen that one yet?
I have not seen China Hustle, no.
I can't remember. I think it's on one of these streaming. Actually, you know what? It's on YouTube. So you can just watch it on YouTube for free.
Beautiful.
Highly recommend it. But it talks about, you know, again, we're talking about China. Oh, that won't affect us here. This whole movie is about how China fraud hit the stock market in the U.S. and hit it hard. Essentially, what these companies were doing is they were finding debunked companies, but were still listed under the SEC in the U.S. stock market, buying them out and then using them to essentially step aside the IPO process. What happened is they started projecting numbers that were just insane. So they're releasing these K-1s and things to the U.S. market saying how great they're doing. And they're skyrocketing. We had a client, you know, this was before I was in the industry, but JR was talking to a guy that had some of these stocks, you know, at the time that this is taking place. And he's up, you know, 60, 70%. And JR's like, that's insane. These shouldn't be happening. Like, takes them off the table. Just again, like, we're supposed to tell you it's just a paper loss if you're losing money. It's just a paper gain unless you cash out. So he's saying, you know, take some profits off the table. Well, what was going on? These companies in China were, you know, running their usual business, but they're not successful. They're barely doing a fraction of the projection that they're telling the U.S. market, but they're not lying to the Chinese government. However, it is not illegal for you to lie to foreigners, essentially. So they were making up their evaluations, essentially, for the U.S. market. All the paperwork that they're turning in were lies. So someone discovered this and they said, how are these companies doing so great? So they went to China and they sat outside some of these companies and they took videos like, if there's real production going on to hit these numbers that they're saying, there should be trucks leaving this facility every 5 minutes. He's like, I've been here a week. I haven't seen a single truck leave. And then he would see people come to visit, you know, foreign investors or whatever. And now all of a sudden the lights are on, the fountains are on, and it actually looks like it's a used facility. But he says most of the time it's not being used at all. So again, to say that strange things happening in other countries can't affect us here is just, it's not true. So those are the, you know, what this whole program is about. Let's warn you and educate you on all the other things that we're looking at. So more recently, there was another company. Sam, have you heard of WeWork?
Yes, I have heard of WeWork, and I saw that they recently did some sort of fictional recreation of the WeWork story. Is that right?
The one I watched was a documentary.
Okay. They probably covered it in a nonfiction way too, but I think they're actually making a film about it or some show.
It wouldn't surprise me. It was super, super interesting. And I think I remember seeing the logos places, but I didn't really know any of this stuff was going on. But what, you know, in summary, for those out there that have not watched this movie, if you're interested, I think this one's on Hulu. It was a real estate company that was kind of like a tech company, but then they started doing like living spaces and rentals for individuals. And then they started to try to do schools. And the guy started like he was brought up in a compound.
I'm seeing they're working on they're working on a television show called We Crashed about the story.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So it is a wild story. And they were incredibly valued, highly valued for a time.
Highly, highly valued. But they're not a Chinese company. So they actually had to release proper information. So when you're a private industry or a private corporation, it's easy to hide and fix the numbers. So if you're going to have an IPO and go to the public, you know, you've got to put it out on the table. So as a private business, investors were valuating as $5 billion, $10 billion, $20 billion. By the time they're ready to IPO, there was like $40 to $46 billion that they thought this was worth. But we're going to have to finish this story after this break. You're listening to Anthony Correo with another Money Show. We'll talk to you soon.
At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Rochford & Associates also helps Americans like you with their insurance needs and estate planning so you can be protected from life's uncertainties with a comprehensive retirement plan. Let us help you protect and grow what you've worked so hard for. Take the next step toward financial freedom now by scheduling your free, no-obligation consultation so JR and his team can come to understand you and your family's specific needs, concerns, and financial goals. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates. Lasting solutions for your family, your future, your life.
We're back. We're talking about WeWork and the whole IPO process. So what happened is they're evaluated as this private company worth so much money, you know, 40 to 46 billion, I think, was the evaluations. Now they've got to put everything on the table so it can go and get IPO'd at the public sector. As soon as they took out the real numbers and people were able to like dig deep into them, it went bankrupt pretty much overnight. You have this massive, thriving business everybody loves and wants to give money to. And then all of a sudden, done, overnight. And the point I want to make with that is there's really a difference between actual money and evaluations and asset values. And there's just such a disconnect in that right now. I like pulling up, people use the billionaire example all the time. It was like Elon Musk, what is he valued at now? $210 billion, something obnoxious. Here's what you need to know about that. He was evaluated at $24 billion 2 years ago. In 2020, $24 billion. Now he's worth 10 times that? How do you make that kind of money? Well, you don't. His stock did. His stock, Tesla's stock, right? And he owns a few other companies, assets all over the place. But Tesla's his big one. That's what he's known for. Was at $180 a share in 2020. It went up to a high of approximately $1,200 in the last 2 years. Now it's down floating around the $600-$700 range. That's insane. But if you're going to say, you know, Elon Musk, he's worth $210 billion. He could, you know, feed everybody in the world. He can do all that. You got to understand, he doesn't have that money. That's the value of the stock. If you sell those stocks, you think if Elon Musk gets out there today and he's like, I don't want Tesla anymore, I'm going to start selling off all my shares, you think those are going to go up in value or go down? I don't know, Sam, what's your, you're a educated man, what's your guess in this?
Well, there's going to be a real high supply. And so the price is going to go down. It'd be like if your grocery store, instead of getting their truck full of all the food that they put on the shelves, they just got apples one day. And, you know, now they need to sell those apples, and the apples get priced to sell. So the price would go down.
You're just giving away, giving away Teslas, electric cars all the way around. The point is that real money and asset money are different. You don't really have that money. Money is fake unless you have it cash in hand. You know, Wu-Tang Clan says it best. Cash rules everything around me. Unless you have cash, you have nothing. Think of 2008. Go back to 2008. We had a client. This was, you know, before my time. Jared tells this story better. I think he had like five or six houses. Five or six houses as an asset. You know, guy's probably a millionaire, multimillionaire. Does he have $1 million or does he have $1 million worth of assets? And asset prices change. You can go from being evaluated at $48, $46, $40 billion to being bankrupt overnight based on your asset prices and values. Yo, you look at these billionaires again. Bezos, $144 billion in assets. Again, these things change. But he's saying he's got $15 billion in cash. Well, you know, if you want to feed a country and do some good, you can do a lot of good with $15 billion in cash. So it's not like these men are poor. But there's a massive difference between $144 billion, $15 billion. Bill Gates estimated $56 billion in cash. So of these three, Elon Musk is by far, you know, the richest by over $100 billion. But who actually has that money? You know, in these three situations, who would I rather be? I'd rather be Bill. You know, I would rather have the cash. So I'm running out of time in this segment. There's a clip when we get back, I'm going to play of Jeff Bezos, because it's one thing for Anthony Correo to give his opinion and tell you that the stock market versus actual companies and assets versus cash are different. But who's Anthony Correo and why does anybody care? Jeff Bezos, on the other hand, if he says something that aligns with what I'm saying, maybe you give it a little bit more credit. So we're going to be back after these messages. Again, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. You reach out to me directly at team@anothermoneyshow, and we will be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate our show on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Another Money Show. No, that's the name of the show. Another Money Show. And now another money-making round with JR and Anthony.
All right, you are back. Anthony Correo, Sam Davis on Another Money Show. So we're talking about, you know, evaluations, asset value versus actual cash. I want to talk to you about the stock market versus actual companies, right? And again, I can give you my opinion all day, but who's Anthony Correa? Why do I care? So we're going to play a clip from Jeff Bezos, which I think hits the nail on the head. And I think a lot of people need to keep this in the back of their mind.
At the peak of the internet bubble, our stock peaked somewhere around $113. Okay. And then after the internet bubble busted open, our stock went down to six. It went from 113 to six in less than a year. So my annual shareholder that year starts with a one word sentence, and that one word sentence is the word ouch.
So most of those internet companies of the dot-com era are out of business.
Yeah.
You survived. What was it that made you to survive and virtually the rest of them are gone?
That whole period is very interesting because the stock is not the company and the company is not the stock. And so as I watched the stock fall from 113 to 6, I was also watching all of our internal business metrics, number of customers, profit per unit, everything you can imagine, defects, etc. Every single thing about the business was getting better and fast. And so as the stock price was going the wrong way, everything inside the company was going the right way. We didn't need to go back to the capital markets. We didn't need more money. The only reason, a financial bust like the internet bubble bursting is, it makes it really hard to raise money. But, we already had the money we needed. So we just needed to continue to progress.
So, Jeff, right, we just talked about billionaires, so probably someone who's fairly business savvy, says something that's so, so important. And I really need this to stick with you. If you're listening to this, remember this. The stock is not the company. The company is not the stock. So when we talk about overvaluations and things that just don't make sense in the stock market, I mean, the economy came to a stop in March of 2020, and the market took a dump for 1 month and then has since doubled. It was, or nearly doubled. It was right around the 18th, the Dow Jones, right around the 18,000 mark, went up to almost 36, doubled in 1 year. Yet the economy, look back for the last 2 years, what's gotten better? Has anything actually recovered? I mean, we had issues with the stock market and things going on, the manipulation before COVID ever hit that have never been addressed. So we're still not recovered from COVID on top of all the other issues that we've had, yet the market is double. And again, the economy is not the stock market. The stock market is not these companies. And that was just, it was the perfect clip. So this is, I think I said this earlier in the show, and I've really been mulling it over, is when is a good time to invest in the stock market? And again, this is an honest question. And I've got some, I want to share with you my thoughts and kind of what I'm thinking. But Sam, you do this, you're a producer for a ton of other financial shows. If I'm asking you, when's a good time to invest in the stock market? What are your thoughts? What is your answer?
Yeah, my first thought is, if you're trying to ask yourself, if the question is really, when should I invest in the stock market? What you're really trying to do is you're trying to get the timing right. And I think you can drive yourself absolutely crazy trying to get the timing right. So I would actually push back and say, maybe rephrase the question a little bit to, how should I invest in the stock market? Because we talked a little bit earlier in the show, and like you said, if you're with a company, you've got a self-directed 401k plan for through that company, maybe they match a little bit out of each paycheck, maybe it's an automatically enrolled type thing. It's hard to completely avoid being invested in the stock market, no matter who you are. If you're a working class taxpayer in the United States, you're probably invested in the stock market. So I would push back and say, hey, how should you invest in the stock market? And really look at it as more of a long-term thing. Because if you're trying to time the market and you look at a year like this year where you're down 20%, maybe you could answer the question with, now is the time to invest in the stock market. If you're really asking when, because things are so deflated currently, you've kind of got it on sale, so to speak. But if the question is, how should I invest in the stock market? You need to be thinking long-term and not a short-term sort of solution.
Okay. So I like that. I like the how instead of the when. But let's give some examples, right? Let me go through my thought process and kind of what steered this. And again, back to that woman I sat on the phone with, who called her advisor, who just gave them a sales pitch and why you need to stay invested. It makes sense in normal times. Let's say some sectors do better than others. Something's usually going up. So you're moving from sector to sector. One company is doing better. When one company is doing better, you sell, you take some of those profits. Kind of a shared experience, the buy low, sell high, but also, capturing paper gains, not capturing paper losses by, taking some of those gains, applying them to the ones with losses. And then when they go up, you actually have more shares, it goes. But when we're in a bubble system, like we have been for the last 20, 30 years, what happens when everything falls? And then it's a time, right? You talk about time and you can't time the market. But if you need that money at any point, so you're just, is it a roll of the dice? If you're, in the stock market, well diversified, not crazy gains, but something consistent, or even just the market overall, say all of your investments are in the S&P 500, the SPY, and you're going to retire in 2008, or you're going to retire in 2005, or you're going to retire in 95. Or you're going to retire in 2015. Those are all very different dates and different values, but you don't know what it's going to be like when you need that money, because you're not putting in money into the market to never need it. Your goal is eventually to need it. So when you do need it, is that it? You hope? Do you think people have any other options? And again, that's an honest question. I know it seems like, because I'm not trying to get to an objective. This isn't me trying to like softball this up so I can get to the point. My point is investing in the stock market really just kind of luck when it comes to when you actually need or want your money?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it offers much lower protection than other alternatives. But obviously, we've seen what the upsides can be if you zoom out and you don't just look at 2022 and you don't just look at the past 20 years, but if you look at the past, 30 plus years and that growth over time, if you're planning to invest for a decade's amount of time, I think it's a nice mix into your portfolio. But if you're completely over leveraged in the stock market, yeah, I mean, that would be tough to sleep at night knowing that any year could come by and all of a sudden one in every $5 you had is gone.
No, that's fair. And I think that's a good answer. Cause again, we're not 100%, get out of the stock market, never have money in the stock market. Our philosophy is more just there are certain steps you should probably go to. You want to be well diversified. You want to have all your bases covered, but there are things that should take priority. And I think our approach to what takes priority is a little bit different than most. Because again, we're not just trying to turn around and sell. I mean, I was trying to make a list of, kind of the order of importance. And I'm like, I think number four is where we step in. So essentially I'm an advisor and I'm telling you the first four priorities that you should have to your financial freedom don't involve me at all. The way I think about it is getting out of debt. So I say this all the time, don't owe any money to anybody if you don't have to. The greatest way to contain wealth is to not be paying it out. Is it easier for me to make you $1,000 a month or to help you get out of debt so you don't pay $1,000 a month? The outcome's the same. Right, your net value is still the same, but it's easier to do one versus the other. And I'm huge, huge on not having debt. Now, if this is a money making show and not, the protective approach that we show, paying down debt is terrible. That's not how you make money. You make money by taking on debt and then reinvesting it. You borrow at one rate and pray that you make it more on another rate. That's called margins. I don't like it. I don't approve of it. I think that our system is so corrupt with margin trading and betting on money you don't have. So it's to the, the public, don't take out loans you can't afford and everybody looks down on you. Well, if a corporation does it, awesome. If you do it, you're bad. So it's the hypocrisy is just outstanding. Keep cash on hand, liquid assets, right? Again, that doesn't make me any money as an advisor. I already told you, I don't know that we really trust the banks, but they're necessary evil. There's no way around it. You have to use the banks. Have liquid assets. We talk about precious metals, gold, silver. I mean, those are, I don't know, you have to find somebody who's going to be able to trade that stuff with you. Have food and water. That's about you. Those are, if you're looking for tradable assets, if things get weird, have an emergency fund at the bank. You do want to have some money in the bank and have that little bit extra. Anything you can't, I can't tell you to keep $100,000 at your house, if you can, more power to you, but make sure it's protected. After that, focus on income, the pension planning that we talk about, income in retirement's huge. After that, branch out. Then you start looking at collectibles, stocks, bonds, art, all that. I'm running out of time in this, and this has been a lot of fun, Sam. I like just me and you. We're going to kick JR out.
It's casual.
So the moral of this story is that financial advising, I don't need an hour to tell you how to invest your money. I'm talking about the news and other things going on, but essentially investments and your approach to finances can be summed up in a pamphlet. So I'm going to play this clip because I think Steve Martin in this SNL skit says it absolute best. Chris Cannell, it's hilarious. We're going to play that real quick for you. And this is all the financial advice you need.
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt. Does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Huh. Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
And that's it, folks. That's how simple financial advising is. Don't spend money you don't have. So if you want my pamphlet version of the advice that I give to clients, if you want to sit down, get an opinion, throw your ideas, you know, at somebody, give us a ring. Phone number is 623-523-0444. You can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. There's a contact button in there. You reach out to us directly. Or just email us directly from any account you have. team@anothermoneyshow.com. This has been fun. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.